We began the eighth perek, and we finished the Mishnah. We started the Gemara. I'm just going to review outside what we need for today's sugya, which is on the top of Pei Beis Amid Beis, 10 lines or so, a little bit more before the end of Pei Beis Amid Aleph. We had a statement of Rav Asi, who said that a child, even if he's 6 years old, and how much more so if he's younger than that, is his mother can set up an Erev on his behalf. And it's not clear exactly what Rav Asi meant by Katan Ben Sheish, whether he meant he's into his sixth year. Usually when the Torah mentions the next year, it means he's into that year, so he's 5 years old. Or maybe here what he means by Ben Sheish is that he's a full 6 years old. And the language here of the Mishnah seems to indicate that he's included in his mother's Eruv. If you remember, we called it last week Kigufo. Now, we're talking about Eruv Tchumin. So his mother sets up an Eruv Tchumin, which means that she's going to go 2,000 Amma to the east, beyond the boundary of the city, and she takes him along with her. And that is because her Eruv is effective for the child as well. And that's called Yotze Be'eruv Imo, that he will be going out with his mother's Eruv. Now, let's just make one point, which I think we sort of overlooked last time, and that is, why is the emphasis here on the mother's Eruv and not the father's Eruv? Now, it would seem that the father's obligation here would be a mitzvah of chinuch. He has to make sure that his child will observe the mitzvahs and not violate them. The mother, in this particular context, has a different role to play. And that is that the child is sort of attached to the mother. So that, in this particular case of kigufo, the child is considered more kigufo because of, in the context of the relationship to the mother. Now, the chiddush here of Rav Asi is that even if the child is, let's say, as old as 6 years old, the mother nevertheless can achieve an Eruv on behalf of our child in such a way that she'd be allowed to take the child outside of what normally would be the Tchum of Shabbos based on the Eruv that she set up on his behalf. Again, the father would have to make sure that the child is not violating, you know, the Isur of Eruv. So, for example, if the Eruv did not encompass the child, the father would make sure that the child did not go beyond the Tchum of Shabbos. But as far as setting up an Eruv on behalf of the child, the mother has in mind her child. The child is 6 years old or less. And she's not going to be taking the child out of the Tchum of Shabbos because the Eruv sets up the Tchum not only on her own behalf, but on behalf of her child as well. That's what we spoke about on Yom Chamishi. And what I'd like to start today inside, in the text itself, is Utnan Nami. So let's see if we can count up from the bottom of Pei Beis Amid Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom. Now, Rav Asi also makes another stipulation, and he says, just 1 second. He says that Rav Asi says that Kotin ben Sheish Yotzei Me'eruv Imo. Okay, so now that's, I'm trying to, just give me a minute to figure out, did Rav Asi make any limitations here? So she made the I made a mistake when I said that there was a qualification. I think on the contrary, Rav Asi made a flat absolute statement that was unqualified. So let's begin with Meisve instead of Utnan. Let's go back up about two lines earlier in the Gemara, Meisve. Again, we did learn this according to the note that I wrote for myself last week, but I think we have to start from Meisve. So the Gemara now quotes a Brice. The Brice says, "Katan shitzarch li imo yotze be'erev imo, v'she ein tzarch li imo, ein yotze be'erev imo." In other words, the Brisa has a qualification. Rav Asi made a flat statement that's unqualified, but the Brisa says that it all depends upon whether it's a katan shetzarach li'imo. Now, the Gemara is going to try to argue that if we get a clear definition of tzarach li'imo, we're going to come to the conclusion that tzarach li'imo is at a younger age than 6. And thus, this braisa that we're learning now is going to contradict Rav Asi, because Rav Asi said, we're not going to try to figure out if this 6-year-old is tzarach li'imo or is not tzarach li'imo. You know, does he need his mother to take him to the, you know, to the washroom? Does he scream, mommy, mommy, you know, when he gets hurt? No, there's an absolute shiur of 6. Is he 6 or is he not 6? If he's up to 6 years old, then the erev of his mother encompasses him as well. But the Braisa says we need tzarach li'imo, which is a younger age. Now, how do we know that tzarach li'imo is a younger age? Utnan nami. We have a Mishnah with regard to Sukkah. And the question is whether the child is old enough to require eating in the Sukkah. In other words, we have to be mechanech him because he's what we call higia lechinuch. He's mature enough so that he can be trained, he could be educated. And the Mishnah says, katan she'eino tzarach li'imo chayav v'sukkah. At what point does the chiyuv emerge of chinuch, that we have to make sure that the child eats in sukkah? That's when he reaches the age of eino tzarach li'imo. And now he's mature enough and subject to chinuch. V'yezu katan she'eino tzarach li'imo, amri debei Rav Yanai, kol she'nifne v'ein imo mekan chaso, he can relieve himself in the bathroom on his own, without his mother. Or Rav Shimon Omar, kol she'niar v'eino kore imo, you know, he doesn't yell out, he has a bad dream and he yells at imo, imo. He's beyond that age. Now the Gemara takes a little bit of a kind of digression for a moment, and let's see what Reish Lakish really had in mind. Ima salke daitach? Do you really mean literally whether he yells out Ima? Gedolim nami karu. It could be that even older children, you know, if they have a scary dream, they will yell out, Ima, mommy, mommy, right? So what does Reish Lakish really have in mind? Ela ema kol she near mishnasa v'yeno kore ima ima. Apparently, you know, if you call for your mother's help, that's ima. But you say ima ima, I guess that's a sort of a cry of desperation in which the child is going to be sort of frozen until his mother comes to bail him out, to help him. So if he reached the mature level where he doesn't yell out ima ima, you know, constantly, then he's mature enough so that he should be brought into the sukkah to eat. Now the Gemara says v'kama. We have Rav Yanai who speaks about mekaneach. We have Reish Lakish about ima. What age are we talking about? And the Gemara assumes kibar arba kibar chamesh, that it might fluctuate between a four-year-old and a five-year-old. But clearly, we're not talking about a six-year-old. So when it says eino tzarech li'imo, that means he's already reached the fifth birthday. You know, we said happy birthday for number five. But once he is 5 years old, he has gone beyond the tzarech li'imo shiurim that were mentioned here by Debei Rav Yanai and Reish Lakish. He's already 5 years old. He's an entity unto himself. He's independent, so to speak, and we have to be mechanichim in the mitzvahs. And as far as the brisa that we quoted earlier, and the mother setting up an eruv on behalf of the child, that's only if it's a child that is tzarech li'ima. And now we're saying, based on sukkah, that tzarech li'ima means he reached the age of five. Or in some cases, if he's a little bit of advanced above his years, even the age of four. So now we're stuck with a contradiction between the brisa of katan shitzarch li'imo yotze beiriv imo, v'ein tzarch li'imo eino yotze beiriv imo, and ravasi. Because the brisa would say that once the child is 5 years old, then he cannot, you know, his tchum will not be determined by the tchum of his mother when she made an eruv. So at this point, we want to turn to Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. And here the Gemara is going to quote Rabbi Yeshua to defend Rav Asi, and the Gemara is going to reject Rabbi Yeshua. Om Rabbi Yeshua Brei de Rav Idi. Yeah, you've adequately convinced us that from five and on, he's not tzarech le'imo. And he would not be, therefore, going out of the tchum, his tchum, for the sake of his mother's eruv. We would need a separate eruv on behalf of the child. And even Rav Asi would hold like this. But kika amar Rav Asi, when did Rav Asi put the deadline at, you know, the line was Ben Sheish, which means that if a katan is 6 years old, according to Rav Asi, he's yot to be Erev Ima. That's Kigon She'erev Olav Aviv Latzofam V'Imo Ladorom. In other words, if the father was not in the picture and it was just the mother, she was the only one who set up the Eruv, then Rav Asi would insist that the child, even though the child is already 6 years old, would be Yotze Be'eruv Ima. No, sorry. Did I get this right? Kika Amar Rav Asi. Oh, the opposite. When does Rav Asi say that the child's eruv, meaning tchum, is determined by his mother? That's only in a case where the child had two options for Erev. He had one Erev towards the north and one Erev towards the south. And in such a case, we're going to try to figure out which of the two Erevin the child opts for, you know, approve, so to speak. In other words, the child is now going to be sort of swept along by one of two possible Erevin, either the father's Erev to the north or the mother's Erev to the south. In such a case, Ravasi says, Afilu bar sheish nami b'tzavta d'ime nichale. Even if he had his sixth birthday, even though he's not called Tzarech Le'imo, but we would still tip the scale, tip the arrow, so to speak, in favor of his mother. And he's more interested in Tzavta De'ime. Tzavta, try to translate the word Tzavta. Tzavta means the companionship. Oh, I think that's a good word. He's more interested in the companionship of his mother than of his father, up until the age of six.
Rabbi?
Just give me one more second just to make sure I have this, because I want to know what we're doing at the Braisa. So again, the Braisa is going to talk about a case of what? Of, it was only one Erev. Only his mother made an Erev. Just give me 1 second, Don. I just don't have it down. Let me see if I can just get this clear. Oh. So again, when does Rav Asi say that a child in his 6 years included in his mother's Eruv? That's a case when there was a discrepancy between the two Erev, and that of his father and that of his mother. And if there's such a discrepancy, which way does he go? And the answer is, he calls the companionship. Even though he's in the sixth year, he prefers the companionship of his mother. Okay, but what about the Braisa? So what about the case of the Braisa? Just 1 second, I'm sorry. I apologize profusely, but there's a piece of the puzzle here that's missing. I mean, we started with the Kasha, the Braisa. And the Braisa says that it depends whether he's Tzarech Le'imo, which we said was 5 years old. 1 second, let me just see if I can... Because if I can't answer this question, then Don, there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to answer your question. Because I simply don't know Pshat.
Question goes in a slightly different direction.
But let me just see if I can. I just want to be able to translate the Gemara in an intelligent way. So the Gemara says, "Vitzavta de'ima nichale," even at the age of six. And what happens in the case of the Braisa? Again, in the case of Rav Asi, there's a discrepancy between the Erev of his father and the Erev of his mother. The Braisa was talking about a case where there was only an Erev of his mother. So if there was only an Erev of his mother, then under what circumstances... How old is the child to say that we can determine that he's included in his mother's Eruv? That's only if he's up to the age of five. But beyond the age of five, he's not included in his mother's Erev. But if he's six and there's a conflict between his father's Erev and his mother's Erev, then his mother's Erev will be determining factor because he prefers the companionship of his mother. And why isn't that enough in a case where there's only the mother and he's 6 years old? That companionship is not sufficient. Why not? Why wouldn't the companionship of his mother be sufficient in a case where there was only one Erev? So a child who's 5 years and up is not included in his mother's Erev.
Isn't that a situation of chinuk at that point?
And therefore what? I mean, again...
So then...
Why?
The mothers wouldn't suffice if that was the only one that was made. But because the father also made one, so for chinuk purposes, his was good. The mother also made one. The child, using his own das, says, I prefer to be with my mother.
Okay, but now let's say what's the case in the Bryce? In the case of the Bryce, there's also some sort of discrepancy between the father and the mother. I thought the case in the Bryce is where the father's out of the picture. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
So the father didn't make an Eruv. So the mother made an Eruv. And the son is not included in the mother's Eruv. Why? Because he's already 5 years old. So why not apply the Svara of Bitzavta Deime Nichli? I mean, I would even say with a Kal Vachomer, in a case where he's already six and the father is schlepping him towards the north, his Tchum is on the south with his mother because he wants the companionship of his mother. How much more so if the father is not even pulling him towards the north? He only has his mother's Eruv. And I would assume he wants the companionship of his mother. I mean, why is it that he wants his companionship to his mother only when the father is in the picture? I mean, the father couldn't care less about Tchum Shabbos, whatever. He has no appointments and no Nichum Avelim and no Simchas Chosu V'Kala to go to. The mother has to go to Nichum Avelim. So she sets up an Erev. I mean, why not apply the principle of Betzavta to Ime? I don't get it. He says Rav Asi will concede that a child above 5 years old is not automatically included in his mother's Eruv, and therefore there's no conflict from the Braisa. But Rav Asi Paskin, that in this specific case, where the mother set up an Eruv, oh, he says a separate Eruv. Maybe that's the word I need. Just one second. Just a light went off in my brain. I don't know if this is a fake light, fake news or not. Kika Amar Av Asi She'irev Olav Aviv Ve'imo. There was another Eruv set up. So again, if there was only one Eruv... I'm sorry. If the Eruv was only set up on behalf... excuse me, on behalf of the mother, she was setting up her own Eruv. She did not have in mind to set up an Eruv specifically for her son. Then the cutoff point is 5 years old. But if there was an Eruv that was set up specifically. Maybe, Steve, this is what you had in mind. I'm sorry if I didn't understand you. But I, you know, sometimes I have to come to it on my own. I have to see the light on my own. That in a case where there was an Eruv that was set up specifically for this child, in fact, there were two Eruvin set up specifically for this child. Here, the child is interested in the companionship of his mother. But if you want to know whether the child is kigufo shel imo, and even though the Eruv was set up for the mother but not for the child, there was no specification of an Eruv for the son. So in such a case, if you want to know whether he schlepped along, that's what we call kigufo, he is somehow included in the Eruv. There's only one Eruv here. No Eruv for him. There was an Eruv for the mother. So when is he considered like schlepped along? That's called tzarech le'ima, which means up to the age of 5. Now beyond the age of 5, if there was an Eruv that was set up on his behalf, see, the only question I would ask you now is, why can't he reject both Eruvin? But let's assume that he definitely gained something from the Eruv, whether it's his father's Eruv gives him another 2,000 amah in the north, or his mother's Eruv 2,000 amas in the south. There's no reason for him to object. The only question is, which of the two Eruvin does he want? And here we're going to apply the principle of the tzavta de ime, that he would prefer his mother's Eruv on his behalf. But again, it's a specific Eruv that was set up on his behalf. If on the other hand you're asking the question of at what age, what's the cutoff point for a child to be considered a nachschlepper? You know, he schlepped along, swept in by the Eruv that his mother made for herself. There the cutoff point is going to be 5. All right, now, Don, at least I have some sort of modus vivendi, you know, some sort of working understanding of the Gemara. I have to admit that Masifta here disappointed me. I don't know. Go ahead, Don. Can you ask your question? Yeah.
Yeah, but before I ask my question, a clarification on what you just said. So what you're saying is in the last case that both parents had the child in mind, and therefore the child gets to choose which one he wants.
Right, but I think it's more than that. You know, it could be, right, for example, the next Mishnah, which we're going to have on the same Amud, is going to talk about the shear of an Eruv, which is Mazon Shtei Sudos. It could very well be that the Mazon Shtei Sudos belongs to the child through the operation of Zoch and the Olam Shelo Befana. But, you know, it's, what I'm trying to say is that it goes beyond just who did the mother have in mind, or who did the father have in mind. It could be that it's a whole different Eruv. It's a real new Eruv. I mean, again, that's a point that we have to clarify as we go along. But I'm just going even a little beyond what you said, Don. So Rav Asi, the way Rav Yeshua understood Rav Asi, is addressing a case of an Eruv that was set up on behalf of the child, a special Eruv, a separate Eruv, a whole new loaf of bread, you know. And in this case, there were two loaves of bread. There was one that was set up by the mother on behalf of the child, and another by the father on behalf of the child in two different directions. And here the Gemara operates with a svara b'tzavtei de'ime. He wants to go with his mother. But ask a different question, and that's a question of grero, or shall we call gufo, whether or not an Eruv that was set up for the mother would permit the child, or let's say permit the mother to take the child 2,000 amas out of the tchum, when there was no Eruv that was set up specifically for the child. Here the cutoff point is 5 years old. That's the subject of the braisa. Once the child celebrates his 5th birthday, you will have to set up an Eruv to give him another 2,000 amas outside beyond the bounds of the city in order to allow him to be taken in that direction. Otherwise, he has to stay within his Tchum Shabbos. Why? Because once he's five, he's eno tzarch le'imo, and therefore he's not a nachschlepper, he's not swept in by the eruv of his mother.
So why only to the 6th year? Why not 7th, 8th, and 9th year? In other words, until he's bar mitzvah. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to me that the extra year is only in this case. In other words, if it was made specifically for him,
right?
Then why doesn't he have the choice even if he's 7 or 8 years old? Why only up to? It says until he's 6 years old.
Right.
Like that's a magical year, you know. This is still not my question, by the way.
Right. Okay. So Steve said before that once he reaches the age of 6, so he's roi lechinuch. So what does that mean? Yeah. I would say the following. Again, this has to be ironed out, but just to give you a general... Once he reaches the magic number of 6, the age of 6, then we're going to have to ask the child which Erev he prefers. Up until the age of 6, we're not going to even ask the child. We're going to rely on the preference of his mother's Eruv, because, what's the language of the Gemara? B'tzavta de'ima nichale. After the age of 6, you know, he's a daddy's man. You know, hey dad, you know, let's play chess together. Let's go out and throw around a softball. Now, I'm not sure that once he reaches the age of 6... we're going to assume ipso facto that he's more connected to his father. I'm not sure. So I don't want to go that far, but at least I would say we have to ask the child, we have to interrogate him. It could be that before the age of 6, even if the child would yell and scream, well, I like my father's Erev better, and that's what I prefer, we would not pay any attention to him. Because as an objective halacha, the svara behind it is because of tzavtei d'ima karnichale, but that's only the background. Then the rabbanon made that cutoff, in which in the conflict between two possible erevin, we tip the scale in favor of the mother's erev as long as the child hasn't reached his 6th birthday, and that's an absolute rule, ironclad. Let the child yell and scream till doomsday; it's not going to make a bit of a difference. It's like butler daitoitz and kol adam. You know, we don't care about this particular cotton who says I love my father better than my mother. But once he reaches the age of 6, now you have to have a whole nother set of a whole new barometer as to determine which of the two erevin he belongs to. Can he walk to the north? Can he walk to the south? Which of the two? And I'm offering two possibilities. Either we ask the child, or we assume he wants to go with his father. Again, I'm hesitant to accept that approach, but it's a possibility. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, if I would take this Gemara and apply it to divorce law, you know, family law. Like, I have a friend in Toronto who's an expert in family law. So you know that one of the issues in family law is who gets custody of the child. Is it possible, based on this Gemara, that up until the age of 6, the mother gets custody of the child? Once the child hits the age of 6, either we try to ask the child if he's mature enough, or we'll have to split the custody. Again, don't yell at me, because I don't want to get myself into deep trouble, but if I had to shoot from the hip, that's what I would say in answer to your question, Don. That up until the age of 6, there's a flat, absolute rule that B'tzavti de'ima kanichal, and therefore the Erev towards the south is going to determine where the child is going to go on the Shabbos. But once he reaches the age of six, then either the child is a free agent to decide, or we're going to assume that he's with his dad. You know, he plays, you know, every Sunday he goes out to play on the Little League team, and his father, you know, trains him for that, and they play ball together and so forth and so forth.
Okay, now my question.
Yeah.
I see if I can phrase it correctly. There's presumption here that the wife can make a separate Erev Tichum from the husband.
Right.
So we know that you have to have consent in an Erev Tichum. So if the husband makes an Erev Tichum, is he required to ask his wife specifically?
That's going to be the next sugya, Don. You machaving to the next sugya sagamora.
Okay.
I don't remember the final conclusion of the gemara, but I think intuitively from my vague memory that she's a free agent. You know, in other words, she doesn't have. Again, it could be if she doesn't object. That's called stoma. Then we assume she's going with her husband, but she definitely has the rights to object. The gemara is going to talk about two kinds of servants. You have a shivcha knainis and an amavriya. And the Gemara is going to say that there are differences in terms of whether the master's eruv is chal without the explicit approval of the shivcha. And the Gemara is going to differentiate between shivcha knainis, which is called gufa kanuilo, where he really owns her, and therefore he could set up an Erev for her, as opposed to an Amavriya, who is a Jewish servant, and she's a Jewess, and she can determine on her own. And then the Gemara is going to try to apply those rules to the case of a husband and a wife, and so forth. So you'll have to wait another few minutes for that.
Okay, I'll wait.
Meisve, the Gemara asks the following kasha. Katan, we have a brisa that says Katan shitzarach li imo yotze bi eruv imo v'kama ad ben sheish. So in effect, just one second, why do I think I skipped something? No, I didn't skip. Okay. In effect, this brisa, this price is against Rabbi Yeshua. Wait a minute. Why is this price? Tuvta de Rabbi Yeshua bar Rav Idi Tuvta. Why? Because it says that up until the age of six. Oh, because this price actually supports the original understanding of Rav Asi. Right, originally we thought Rav Asi puts the cutoff at six, until we have Rabbi Yeshua who says, no, even Rav Asi puts the cutoff at five, just that the case of Rav Asi is a different case, where there were two Erevin, and we have to figure out which Erev the child prefers. But here the Braisa says that Katan shetzarach l'imo yotze be'erev imo, which is Erev imo. Erev imo means, and this would support Apshat from before, an Erev which she set up for on her own behalf. And that Erev on her own behalf, he, the child, is Kigufo, and it says Tzarech Le'imo. But we thought Tzarech Le'imo means up to the age of five. Well, I got news for you. The Braisa says Ad Sheish Ben Sheish Shonin. So then, we're going to now go back to Rav Asi, and we're going to interpret Rav Asi in the light of this braisa, that up until the age of six, there's halacha that the child is, as we said before, schlepped along with his mother kigufo, even in a case of an eruv imo. Now, at this point, the Gemara says tuvta the Rav Yoshua bar Rav Idi tuvta, but if I understand the Gemara correctly now, following the logic, we now have to resurrect the old kasha against Rav Asi from the braisa that set up the cutoff at age five, meaning up to age 5 is tzarich li'imo, but not beyond age 5, and we supported that with the two interpretations of the Mishnah in Sukkah, that a child is tzarich li'imo up until a very young age, maybe 4, maybe 5. We had to be Rav Yanai and Reish Lakish. So Gemara says, Leimat evi tuvtei derav asi. Well, so let's just see. I mean, I know what I would like the Gemara to be saying, but I'm not sure that that's what the Gemara is saying. Lema tihevi tiyufta de Rav Asi, that this Brisa now contradicts Rav Asi, because the Brisa says, Ad ben sheish. Ah, if I'm not mistaken, now the Gemara is wondering about the day, the sixth birthday of this child. And Rav Asi's statement was, let's go back to Pei Aleph Amid Beis, was Katan Ben Sheish, not Ad Ben Sheish, which would mean up to but younger than Ben Sheish, but rather Ben Sheish. Again, this is very odd, because the Gemara is now wondering what happens on the sixth birthday of the child. According to Rav Asi, clearly he would be included in his mother's Eruv, because again we're rejecting Rabbi Yeshua Bar Avidi. Whereas this Brisa says Ad Ben Sheish, up to but not including Ben Sheish. So this is a very famous issue all over Shas. When you say ad, up to including, or up to but less than. So the Gemara thought Na'am Mina means up to Ben Sheish but less than Ben Sheish. Now the Gemara is saying no. What the Bryce had in mind, up to Ben Sheish means not beyond Ben Sheish, but includes, that's called ad viad bechlal, includes Ben Sheish. So now the Gemara says, Lema tevi tuvta de Rav Yanai v'Reish Lakish. Right, the Brisa is setting up what word do I want to use here? The cutoff point for a Tzarech Li'imo as 6, whereas Rav Yanai and Rav Reish Lakish had it at a younger age, possibly even as young as 4. Lo kasha. Ha de isa avua b'mosa. Ha de lo isa avua b'mosa. It all depends where the father of the child is local. Is he's now in the city. He hasn't yet gone off on a business trip. So if the child is 4 or 5 years old, then he has 2 parents. Right, his father is available and his mother's available, and he's not completely tied to his mother. You know, he cuts off the apron strings to his mother, so to speak, and sometimes he goes in and out with his father. But the Brisa that gives him up to the age of 6, that's a case where the father is not available. Ein ha'avi ha'yelid nimtza be'ir. But again, what that means, I'm not sure. Does it mean he went away for a day? I don't know. But in any event, the father is not there. So when the father is not there, then he's completely karuch achar imo, up to the age of 6. He's like physically and emotionally connected to his mother. So that Reish Lakish from Yanai, they're talking about a case where aviv b'masa. If aviv b'masa, then he has 2 parents and he's not completely, he doesn't cling to his mother exclusively. Aye, the Brisa says Ben Sheish, that's a case where there's no father in the picture right now, he's away. out of the city limits, and he's Korach Achar Imo, even up to the age of 6. Now, at this point, we can go back to the original question. The Gemara raised an objection against Rav Asi from the fact that the Braisa said that in Erevin it also depends upon Tzarech Le'imo, which means that a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old is Eino Tzarech Le'imo. That's a case where the father is in the city. Rav Asi was addressing a case where the father is out of the city, and therefore Rav Asi raises the shear, the age, to 6. Because the father is not available in the city, and therefore he is totally dependent upon his mother. He's Korach Achar Imo. Now, I want to just see if we can go a little bit further based on the Mishnah, which says, because we want to get to Don's question about a wife and a husband. So the Mishnah had established that if you want to set up an Erev Tchumen on behalf of your friend, you need his approval, because he may lose. He wants to go to the west, and instead he'll end up bound to the east by your Erev. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'arev Adam al Yidei Bino Ubito Ketan. But in contrast, a person could set up an Erev Tchumen for the members of his household as long as they are ketanim. And al yidei, meaning on behalf of avdo shivchaso aknanim. So these are non-Jewish slaves that are owned by the master. Bein ledaitom, bein shelo bedaitom. We're not going to ask them whether they want the Erev or they don't want the Erev. The Erev is objective. Avol eino ma'arev lo al yidei avdo v'shivchaso ha'ivrim lo al yidei b'no b'ito ha'gedolim v'lo al yidei ishto elo midato. So in the case of a Jewish slave, whether it be a male or a female, an Eved or a Shivcha, which a Shivcha is called an Amavriya, in such a case, he doesn't own their goof, he doesn't have a possession and an ownership over their very, very being, so to speak. And in the case of his children who are Gedolim, and Gedolim means that pass bar mitzvah, they become separate independent agents, and v'lo yidei ishto, she certainly is an independent agent, elami daito, unless they were specifically commissioned, or he was specifically commissioned to set up the Erev on their behalf. Tanya Idoch, however, we have a different brisa, which is similar to the previous brisa, but expands it. Lo ya'arev adam al yidei b'no b'ito agdolim. A person should not set up an eruv on behalf of his children who are already gedolim. They're not minors. V'b'shvil avdov shivchasa ivrim v'lo yidei ishto elami daitam. Avo ma'arev al yidei avdo v'shivchos haknanim v'al yidei b'no u'bito haktanim bein l'daitom bein shelo l'daitom. So when it comes to an adon, a master, who owns the gufo shel eved or the shivcha because they're knanim, or alternatively vis-a-vis his children who are ktanim, he can set up the eruv with their knowledge or without their knowledge, even against them. Their interest. The Erev is meaningful. And the reason for this, in the case of Avdo v'Shivcha Ketanim, is Mipnei Sheyodon Kiyodo, which is called, as we said before, Gufo Konilo. So Gufo Konilo applies in these two scenarios. One is an Eved or a Shifcha Knani, and number two, a Ben or a Bas Katan. Then the Brisa says, V'kulon she'erevu v'erev aleihem Rabban yotzim b'shel Rabban. Chutz mina isha mipnei she'yichol limchos. So what's this case of Rabban? Is that a case of a master? We just finished saying that it all depends on whether the Eved is a Kanani or is the Israeli. Let me just see one thing here in the commentary. He says that even if any of these made their own Erev to travel in one direction, while at the same time their master made an Erev for them to travel another direction, they meet their Tchum requirement with their master's Erev. So here's a case where that person for whom the master set up the Erev is subjugated to the master, such that even if they would go ahead and set up their own Erev, going in a different direction, the Erev that would determine their Tchum would be the master's Erev. But the exception to that rule is Isha. Mipnei she'yichola limchos. She has separate independent status. She's not subjugated to her husband. And if she objects to the Erev that her husband wanted to set up on her behalf, she has the rights to do so. And if she sets up a conflicting Eruv, then for sure, even if she didn't reject her husband's Eruv, then inherent in her setting up her own Eruv is an implicit conflict or rejection of her husband's Eruv. So the Gemara says, Isha Maishna. In other words, we spoke about adult children, so why does the Brisa single out the wife? Anybody else, with the exception of those servants, the Knanim, is entitled to object to an Eruv and set up their own Eruv. So why do you single out Isha? Amarabba, Isha v'chol d'domila. Don't take this Brisa literally. Isha is just a paradigmic case of any person who has their own independent status, they're entitled to object to the Erev that somebody set up on their behalf. And that would apply to adult children and to Jewish servants as well. Omar Mar, and here we'll wrap it up. It says in the Brisa that Kulam she'irvu ve'irv aleim Rabban yotzim b'shal Rabban chutz min ha'ishim nei she'yicholu limchos taima dimachi. Do we say that she sets up her own Erev because she objected? Hastama nafka divdbala. But if she didn't say a word, then we assume in the absence of any evidence to the contrary, that she wants the Eruv of her husband, and therefore it's a valid Eruv on her behalf. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. Haktani Reisha, the Reisha this Brisa says, that a person should not set up an Eruv on behalf of Bino Bito Akdolim, or Avdo V'Shifraso Ivrim, or Bishvil Ishto, Elami Daitam. So the Brisa says in the Reisha that you need me Daitam, I love the Amri in. We have to hear that magic word that they gave approval. There's no such thing as tacit approval, we need explicit approval, and that's called me Daitam. So how do we reconcile this contradiction in the Brisa? That the Brisa on the one hand says, Chutz mi Isha mnei she'yichola limchos, which sounds like unless she makes a mecha and she protests, she is included in her husband's Erev, and it's valid on her behalf, as opposed to the Reish of the Brisa, which says, Elomi daitam, which means we need, in a positive sense, to have heard her approval. So my answer is, lo, the Reish did not mean to say that we need her explicit approval. Umay elami daitam. So what does the braisa mean when it says elami daitam? And the answer is dishtiku, that they were silent. And the silence of, let's say in this case, the Isha, is an implicit acceptance and approval. So it's not that we don't need her approval, we have her approval. Lafuki hecha di amri lo, unless she makes a statement that she protests and she objects to the end. So Gemara says, I don't understand how you're going to reconcile yourself with the language that says, ha, v'kulon she'eravu v'erav aleim raman yotze mishel raman ustamahu. In other words, it would seem from the braisa that we're talking about a case of stama, because it says yotzim v'shel raman, and uktoni it says chutz mina isha delo nafki, that a woman does not go out in the erev that her husband set up in a different direction. In other words, it seems that even a woman who is silent would not rely on the eruv of her husband. That would not be valid on her behalf. She has to indicate some sort of approval. Amar Rava came and she'irvu, ein lecha michui gadol mizeh. This is a case of mecha, where she, in other words, if she was shoseka, she said nothing, and she did not set up another Erev, then she would be Konesh Misa with the Erev of her husband. But this case, where she set up an Erev in another direction, Ein Lecha Michui Gadol Mizeh. That's the greatest proof that her Das is to object to the Erev that her husband set up. Just quickly to review the last question and answer of the Gemara, how does a wife differ in the Braisa from others in the same category, such as adult children or Jewish servants? And Rabba reinterprets the Braisa to mean a wife and whoever resembles her. So the Braisa is excluding anyone who resembles a wife, and that would exclude the adult children and the Jewish servants. And they are all entitled to object to the Erev that was set up on their behalf. The Gemara goes back to another statement in the Braisa, that except for a wife because she is entitled to object, is this implying that the reason why the husband's Erev is not binding upon the wife is because she objects? Should we therefore derive the implication that if she doesn't express any objection, she doesn't make a mecha, in a case of stoma, then the Erev is valid, and that would mean that sort of she's bound to the tchum of the husband, even though she never expressly consented to the husband's Erev. So the Gemara says that, you know what, explicit consent is required, because the first part of the Braisa, the Reish of the Braisa, says that elamidaitam. And the Gemara thinks that midaitam means that the Erev is only valid as long as she indicates her consent. And what it says, no, my elamidaitam, what does it mean? That it doesn't mean that we need her explicit consent. It just means that we don't have her objection. And if she objects explicitly, then the Erev is not valid. But on the other hand, if she is silent, and that would again apply to either a wife or a Jewish slave or older children, then she is bound by her husband, or in the case of a slave, by her master's or his master's Erev. So silence is considered an approval. It's a tacit approval, and it's binding. And only, again, if the wife knows about the Erev, right? She's aware of the fact that the Erev was made on her behalf, then her silence is considered a tacit approval. Okay, then this is where we're going to stop, and we'll continue Rishem tomorrow.